speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Thursday, July 24th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to do a post-mortem on the Mueller hearing. Yeah, he's close to death, it looks like. I think we need to take up a collection and get that guy some brain force. We're going to take a look at the facts that came out. We're going to look at the reactions to what came out. And look, I sympathize with him. It's tough doing things live, especially when you haven't read your material. I don't think you'd ever read the Mueller report. What is this? It doesn't even appear to be able to read when he was there at the committee hearing. But we're gonna go over some of the facts, and we're going to get people's reactions. It doesn't look too good for the Democrats at this point. As I put as the title of the show, President Trump has got to be jumping up and down like Brer Rabbit in the briar patch. Don't throw me in that briar patch. Well, they threw him in there. And it's not going to work out too good for those foxes in the Democrat Party. And, of course, this whole thing has been a red herring to get us off of the track of these foxes, to get us off the track of corrupt Hillary and so forth. Didn't the Russians get this information? Don't pay any attention to this information. That's where this has been all the time. And so here we are 3 years in, and maybe it is finally dead. I'm not sure, though. I'm not sure if it's really dead yet or not. One thing that is not dead is Jeffrey Epstein. He's nearly unconscious, as many people are reporting, a possible suicide. And we want to wish him better luck next time. Can we give him some pointers on how to do it properly next time? Maybe he was just engaged in that kind of kinky thing that some of these people like him do to try to choke themselves out. Getting some kind of sexual pleasure out of that. They found him semi-conscious with marks on his neck. Two sources from NBC in New York say, two sources say that Epstein may have tried to hang himself. A third source cautioned that the injuries were not serious, and he might have been doing that to himself as a way to get a transfer. And then a fourth source came out, reports Zero Hedge, and said, well, we haven't ruled out an assault. So there's two votes... Two votes for a attempted suicide, one vote for let me try to harm myself a little bit so I can get out of jail, and then the fourth vote is for possibly an assault. Evidently, he is sharing a cell. Or this guy's got access to him somehow. A former Orange County police officer, Nicholas Tartaglione, he's with the Tartaglione family, I guess, in connection with the incident. He was arrested, this police officer, former police officer, was arrested in 2016 on suspicion of killing four men in an alleged cocaine distribution conspiracy before burying their bodies in his Otisville yard, according to court records. Now, his attorney says, oh, no, they get along just fine. I didn't see anything. I saw nothing. I didn't touch him. His attorney denied all claims that his client attacked the financier, saying he and Epstein get along. And they saw each other recently. So I'm not sure what, I mean, it looks like when you look at this picture of the jail cell, it looks like he is in a cell by himself. And so I don't know what the interaction is between this this former cop who, and I don't know if the cop was involved in drug deals or whether he was some kind of a Dirty Harry taking these guys out. Probably he was involved in a drug deal. But I don't understand what how he has access to Epstein. Of course, this is also, there is a fifth possibility. And that is some of these very, very powerful people who have been using him to get dirt on other people may be about ready to suicide him themselves. So we'll have to stay tuned and see what happens with that. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the aftermath of the Mueller, what should we call it? A hearing, performance, medical examination. I don't know. Competency hearing. Maybe that's what the Mueller competency hearing. We'll have more about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Deceit. telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Thursday, July 25th, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at the aftermath of the Mueller. I think I've decided I'm going to call it the Mueller competency hearing. Everybody is talking. Some of his friends are worried about him. I don't know. Look, I sympathize. It's difficult to speak live for hours on end and to field questions and so forth. I do this for a living, and so I know. One of the tips I would give Bob Mueller, if you're going to do this for a living, is, first of all, do a little bit of your homework. I don't come in here to try to do the news without reading any of the articles, which is what he did on the report that bore his name. He goes in there after years of this, tens of millions of dollars, I guess. I don't know how much they blew on this thing. And obviously, he'd never read it. He's totally unfamiliar with it. And at least read the material. Number two, I would suggest to him that he gets some brain force. That helps you with focus, with clarity, with recall. I couldn't do this show without it. And obviously, Bob Mueller needs it very, very badly. But at least do the homework. At least do the homework. Don't have the arrogance to think that you're going to just walk in and, based on your stellar reputation and the way you've been worshipped by everybody on the left, as I saw this yesterday, I said the big mistake the Democrats made was to put Bob Mueller there in the seat. They should have gotten Robert De Niro to do their idea of who this guy really is. And so we're going to take a look at, first of all, at how he actually performed. And I was saying that yesterday. The hearings began about a half hour before this show began. And so we joined some of the questioning live. And he was having a very, very difficult time. We're asking him, what about conspiracy? Is conspiracy different from collusion? Oh, yes, they are. Well, you said here that they're not different. They're the same. It's like, I'm confused about collusion. I've got the collusion confusion. And on and on and on. It was really, as many of the Democrats said, it was painful to watch. I found it somewhat amusing. And when we look at this type of thing, I said yesterday morning, I said, boy, this is really going to be rough because he's got 5 hours of this and he was doing really poorly right off the bat. And again, he hadn't taken his brain force. I want to get the tweet of the aged Mueller that I put up. This has gone viral. Somebody has taken Bob Mueller and run him through the age filter program. You guys pull that up and just roll that as B-roll. And I said, this is what it's going to look like as the Democrats do Russiagate 2030. They are never going to give up. That's exactly what they're going to keep bringing him in. They're going to keep him on preservatives and roll him in all the way up to 2030, I'm sure. They can never get enough of this. But maybe they have. Robert Mueller even forgot which president appointed him as U.S. attorney. He was asked by Stanton in just perfunctory questioning. He said, which president appointed you to become U.S. attorney for Massachusetts? And Mueller replied, which senator? He said, no, which president? Senators don't appoint him. Which president? And he paused for a while and he goes, I think that was President Bush. He says, well, according to my notes, it was President Ronald Reagan who had the honor to do so. And he goes, yes, my mistake. Chris Wallace pointed out that Mueller seemed to be very uncertain, didn't seem to know what was in his report, which is what everybody was saying. David Axelrod, who worked for Obama, said Mueller did not seem as sharp as he used to be. Many people described him as frail in his grasp of the report, shaky, having a hard time following the questions. Yeah, he couldn't follow the plot. I mean, here's a guy trying to sell a conspiracy theory for the Democrats, and he's been working on this conspiracy theory for 3 years, and he lost the plot. He'd never even read the script. Mueller forgot which president appointed him, and there's many other things. At one point, Mueller said he was not familiar with Fusion GPS. Do you believe that? Of course, that is Hillary Clinton's contractor, the people who invented the dirty dossier. And then they turn it over to the, conspired with the intelligence agencies, with the FBI, the Department of Justice. They work with foreign intelligence agency in the UK. They leak it to the press. The press comes out with this, and then they use that to get a FISA warrant. I mean, that is the central thing in all this. Oh, he doesn't know anything about that. He doesn't know anything about it. Can you believe that? And so Seth Abrams said, I'll say that Mueller seems a little shaky, to put it mild. And as I said, David Axelrod, the Obama campaign and White House strategist, said this is very, very painful. Journalist Michael Isikoff said Mueller is answering few questions. He's citing the report. He is asking for questions to be repeated. He seems confused at times, and he is uncertain about key parts of his own report. Of course he is. Matt Drudge, I think, had the best summary of all this. Matt Drudge said, dazed and confused in his headlines, and then he tweeted out, drug test everyone in Washington. Everyone. That was his tweet. Drug test everyone in Washington. Everyone, said Matt Drudge. He always gets right to the heart of it. And look, here's one of the reasons that Matt Drudge would say that. I recall, I don't know if it's a year or 2 years ago, Matt Drudge had I found the story to be very, very interesting. And I was very impressed that, unlike Mueller and the Mueller report, Matt Drudge actually read this article about the White House the Capitol Hill pharmacy, the House of Representatives pharmacy. And this is a pharmacy that went back into the 1800s. They had a very, very long tradition of supplying pharmaceutical drugs to the House of Representatives. And so it was a local special interest story. It was very long, 20-some-odd pages, if you printed it out, probably. And I read it to see where the headline that Drudge had there, because the headline that he pulled out, and it was buried deep into the article, was the quote from the pharmacist. He said, they send us these prescriptions and we fill them, and I can't say which drugs I'm taking to which congressman or women. And he says, but I look at some of these drugs that we have to take over there, and I'm absolutely amazed how these people can do their work. How do these people even function? How do they even find the Capitol? We're looking at you, Nancy Pelosi. I don't know. When Matt Drudge put that up, and I'm sure that's what he's thinking, drug test all of these guys. Let's find out what kind of drugs they're on in order to be able to do basic functioning there at the House of Representatives. This is a guy that everybody in Washington, of course, was worshiping. He had a, quote, stellar reputation. That's what everybody kept saying about Bob Mueller. And now that has disappeared, as Zero Hedge says. That has melted away to reveal a befuddled old man who was not even familiar with his own report. Molly Hemingway says, Robert Mueller literally just said he wasn't familiar with Fusion GPS. My Lord, my Lord. People are melting down. Michael Moore, a frail old man unable to remember things, stumbling, refusing to answer basic questions. I said it in 2017 and Mueller confirmed it today. All you pundits and moderates and lame Democrats who told the public to put their faith in the esteemed Robert Mueller, just shut up from now on. Meet the press. Chuck Todd on optics. This was a disaster. You have ABC senior national correspondent Terry Moran saying impeachment is over. Oliver Darcy, that guy who is obsessed with InfoWars, trying to shut us down everywhere. Seems pretty clear at this point, Mueller's not the best spokesperson for his own report. And then, of course, there's Bill Kristol, the never-Trumper who never gives up. Well, both could be true. Maybe Bob Mueller isn't a dazzling, dynamic personality or even a compelling witness, but the report could still be true. He's never going to give up. Bill Kristol is never, never going to give up. We'll be right back and we'll take a look at the facts, just the facts, coming up next. Yeah, the deception took a big hit yesterday. As Law and Crime reports, people who have long admired, actually this is a quote from a Washington Post reporter, Carol Linig, I guess is the way you pronounce her name. People have long admired and known Robert Mueller are concerned about his visible struggle this morning to answer detailed rapid-fire questions. They're actually concerned about his health. Well, those of us who know his career and his history were concerned when he was appointed. As a matter of fact, Harvey Silverglate, a lawyer and the guy who wrote Three Felonies a Day, talking about how complicated and numerous the laws in this country are that most Americans commit at least three felonies a day, and you can be entrapped for anything by somebody like Bob Mueller, of course. You know, we look at what happened there, contradicting himself. And we're going to play you a clip of that. We played this yesterday during the live testimony. The confusion that Bob Mueller had, where he contradicted his own written report, and then he contradicted his testimony, said, well, I'll go back to that report. Now, when somebody like General Flynn does that, and again, General Flynn didn't know that this was a formal deposition. Bob Mueller did. And he didn't even make himself familiar with what other people had written, put his name on it, and turned in his homework. But if you are an individual who is talking to the FBI or the government and you make a mistake like that, that's what they came after Flynn for. You know, they just ask him some, oh, let's just get together, you know, just kind of informally. And there is no informal discussion with somebody at the FBI or the CPS or any of these other bureaucracies. Just don't talk to these people. If you know who they are, don't talk to them at all. And because, you know, the same type of thing that Bob Mueller had did yesterday. And, of course, they excuse, oh, well, he was just confused. He was unfamiliar with the report that bears his name. But we won't hold that against him. We won't say that he was lying in the report. We won't say that he was lying on testimony. Either way, they contradict each other. No problem. No crime. But, of course, we'll destroy General Flynn's life. They will harass and hound him for years. Until he goes bankrupt. Or Roger Stone. And again, Roger Stone came up in the testimony as well. We're going to get to that in a moment. But people who had had dealings with Bob Mueller were very concerned about it. Again, Harvey Silverglate, the attorney who wrote Three Felonies a Day, said, Mueller is a Torquemada. He said that right as he was appointed. I remember covering that. He said he's had multiple dealings with him. He got into the case of the physician who was accused of murder. They based the fugitive on it. I can't remember. I'm doing a Bob Mueller right here. Anyway, it had gone on for quite some time, and he came in during the appeal process. And the point. No, I don't think it was Sam Shepard. No, it was a guy who was in. Okay. Based on this. Okay. Well, then it was somebody else then. I'm thinking of a guy. His name was, it doesn't matter. we're getting into the weeds here. The bottom line was this guy, Jeffrey McDonald. That was the one. Sorry. Just came to me. Jeffrey McDonald, he had been accused of murdering his wife. He was a physician in North Carolina, Fort Bragg, I believe. In the Army, the military, and he said, yeah, this guy broke in and killed my wife, and I fought with him, and he got away. And so maybe the fugitive was based on this other doctor, but some of us thought that it was based on Jeffrey McDonald. So Harvey Silverglate comes in during some of the retrials because they had made some mistakes, and there'd been some issues. And he said, they got into the meeting. And Bob Mueller came in and said, I want to make one thing clear. Any criticism of the government or the FBI or our tactics or the Department of Justice is off the table. You, even though there'd been gross misconduct by these people, even though that was the subject of why this was going on to appeal, you're not going to be allowed to talk about that. So he was a company man. He was an insider. And he was also somebody who had tried to entrap Harvey Silverglate in an earlier issue. He had sent a guy in who was wired, and this guy tried to get Harvey Silverglate to do something illegal, to try to entrap Harvey Silverglate. He threw the guy out, and he saw as the guy was walking out, he could see the microphone thing in the back of his coat. And he confronted Bob Mueller about that. So a lot of people knew what Bob Mueller was about. And Ann Coulter points out that, yes, he does have a reputation. It's not simply honorable, lifelong Republican, as we keep hearing over and over again. And she said, now, after the testimony, we can add dazed and confused. Now, as far as a lifelong Republican, she points out, of the 17 lawyers in Mueller's office, 14 are registered Democrats. Not a single one is registered Republican. In total, they have donated more than $60,000 to Democratic candidates. As for him being honorable, she talks about the cases of Stephen Hatfield and Senator Ted Stevens. I would also throw in, before we get away from this, I would also throw in what happened with Whitey Bulger, the Boston mobster. Bob Mueller was brought in as a prosecuting attorney there. Whitey Bulger, a gangster, was being run as an informant by the FBI. At least one, a corrupt FBI agent, went to prison. But they started helping him they gave him information on rival gangsters so that he could take them out. And this is all being done right under the nose of Bob Mueller. As for Mueller being honorable, writes Ann Coulter, Stephen Hatfield and late Senator Ted Stevens might beg to differ. After the 2001 anthrax attacks, the FBI, under then FBI Director Mueller's close supervision, and remember, they wanted him very badly to run the FBI right after September 11th. He was their chosen guy. As they were running up, preparing for 9/11, they were preparing for Bob Mueller, and he took office just a day or so after 9/11. Anyway, the FBI, under Director Mueller's close supervision, spent 7 years pursuing Stephen Hatfield, a U.S. Army biodefense researcher. Year after year, the person who had really done it went along undisturbed with his life until he committed suicide. And then at last, the FBI zeroed in on him, the FBI under Bob Mueller. Mueller was deeply involved, writes Ann Coulter, in the anthrax investigation, recruiting the lead investigator on the case, working in lockstep with him, as he put it, according to a book in the case, The Mirage Man by David Willman. During his multi-year investigation of the wrong man, Mueller assured Attorney General John Ashcroft, as well as two U.S. senators, that Hatfield was the anthrax mailer. Presciently, Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz asked then-Deputy Attorney General James Comey if he was sure that Hatfield wasn't another Richard Jewell, another innocent man who, a few years earlier, had been publicly identified by the FBI as the main Olympic bombing suspect. Comey replied, "Oh, I'm absolutely certain it's Hatfield." It ended in 2008 with the Bureau paying Hatfield millions of dollars. The same type of thing that happened with the people who were framed by Bob Mueller around Whitey Bulger. They were paid millions of dollars later as well. We'll be right back.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
All right, so we're going to take a look at the facts, you know, that, and as we look at this, maybe Bob Mueller is he corrupt or is he just a dunce that they can put in? Kind of a Peter Sellers being their character, you know, hey, he looks good on TV, we can dress him up in a suit and put him in there. Because you look at all the stuff that happened right under his nose, I was just talking about with the anthrax case. You look at what was going on right underneath his nose with Whitey Bulger and on and on and on. Is this guy a total idiot, like he looked like yesterday? Or is he hopelessly corrupt? Well, he deflected questions 198 times, according to NBC News. They kept count. NBC kept count of how many times he wouldn't answer. And, of course, part of that was that he was cautioned by the Department of Justice. He had asked them for guidance. You know, what do I do? You know, this is a guy who he's not going to put himself in jeopardy for Nancy Pelosi's political agenda. And to be fair, it's not really Pelosi doesn't, she would like to have impeachment, but she kind of knows what's going to happen with that. And so she's trying to fight off the radicals in her party who desperately want it, even now. Many in Hollywood are cheering it on. Go for it, go for it. It's like, yeah, keep going down that path. See how that works out. She remembers what happened with Bill Clinton when the Republicans went for impeachment. And there's nothing at all here. And she knows exactly what's going to happen to her party if she goes down that route. But there's many who want to do that, who are trying to use this for this. And I think their hopes just collapsed over and on, over and over again. He said, I will leave the answer to our report. That is beyond my purview. That was one of his favorite quotes. That's beyond my purview. I know nothing. I know nothing. He pleaded Schultz on here. Doug Collins, as I was doing this yesterday, let's take a look at video clip number four. He's trying to get him to distinguish between conspiracy and collusion, because that was the great hope of the Democrats, was that they could say, okay, so there's no conspiracy here or collusion, or is there? And is there obstruction? Those are the two things. So even though he didn't find that there was any collusion, they're still trying to insinuate a conspiracy. And then they're trying to insinuate that there was some kind of obstruction. So let's pick up where we were playing the broadcast yesterday. Video clip number four.
Although your report states collusion is not so specific offense, and you said that this morning, Collins, or a term of art in federal criminal law, conspiracy is. In the colloquial context, are collusion and conspiracy essentially synonymous terms?
You're going to have to repeat that for me.
Collusion is not a specific offense or a term of art in the federal criminal law. Conspiracy is.
Yes.
In the colloquial context, known public context, collusion and conspiracy are essentially synonymous terms, correct?
No.
If no, on page 180 of volume one of your report, you wrote, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in the general federal conspiracy statute 18 U.S.C. 371. And you said at your May 29th press conference and here today, you choose your words carefully. Are you sitting here today testifying something different than what your report states?
Well, we know why he is desperate to get a lawyer to help him. I can look at the citation and evaluate whether it is.
Okay, let me just be clarifying. You stated that you would stay within the report. I just stated your report back to you. And you said that collusion and conspiracy were not synonymous terms. That was your answer, was no.
That's correct.
In that, page 180 of volume one of your report, it says, as defined in legal dictionaries, collusion is largely synonymous with conspiracy, as that crime is set forth in general conspiracy statute 18 U.S.C. 371. Now, you said you chose your words carefully. Are you contradicting your report right now?
Not when I read it.
So you would change your answer to yes, then?
No.
I'm going to contradict my previous contradiction.
Look at the language.
I'm confused.
I'm reading your report, sir. It's a yes or no answer.
Page 180.
Page 180, volume 1.
Okay.
This was from your report.
It comes after page 179.
I leave it with the report.
So the report says, yes, they are synonymous. Yes. Hopefully, for finally, out of your own report, we can put to bed the collusion and conspiracy. One last question as we're going through.
Let's hold it right there.
Did you ever...
Okay, so yeah. You mean that page 180? He says, in the report, he says the legal definition equates the two, right? So obviously, Bob Mueller doesn't know his report that somebody ghost wrote for him. And he also doesn't know the law that was quoted in the report. And that's not all that he doesn't know. He was very confused about collusion and about conspiracy. He didn't know if the two were equivalent. And, you know, quite frankly, I think he should get the full General Flynn treatment. I think now he should be charged by the Department of Justice. Good luck with that, because he and Bill Barr are longtime friends. Their wives go to Bible study together and so forth. So that's not going to happen. Nothing will happen to him, just like nothing happened to James Clapper when he lied to everyone in America about how they were illegally and unconstitutionally spying on each and every one of us. And of course, we don't matter, right? We're just, you know, the hoi polloi of America. So who cares if the FBI is pulling a Trump on us. But see, when you don't protect the individual Americans, then it's the people in power, the people in the highest offices. It's the congressmen and the senators and the presidents who don't do anything to rein in this out-of-control Department of Justice, this out-of-control FBI, this out-of-control NSA and CIA. They don't do anything to put these people under the law, under the Constitution. They never punish them. They can lie to everybody. They can lie under oath, as James Clapper did. And no matter how befuddled or confused or contradictory Bob Mueller is, I mean, he's got a report with his name on it, and he is contradicting that under oath to Congress. What do you think would happen? Well, I know exactly. We saw what happened to General Flynn. We see what's happening to Roger Stone, all these people. And Roger Stone didn't even contradict himself. They're saying, oh, well, you know, you contacted Julian Assange to get an interview with him as a reporter. We're going to send you to jail because you're affiliated with Trump, too. We don't like Trump either. We want to try to embarrass and besmirch Trump. You know, that was a thing yesterday. You know, I said, look at this. You've got a Democrat congressman saying, you people are mispronouncing Mueller's name. You're calling him Mueller just because you want to besmirch him. That's the whole point of this. All of this is to besmirch Trump. Anyway, so then we get to Fusion. Fusion GPS, the people who were hired to dig up dirt. And when they couldn't dig up any dirt on President Trump, they invented it. They invented it. And of course, Christopher Steele and the dirty dossier, the filthy fiction about all the peace stuff and everything. You know, this former British spy, so they are colluding with foreign intelligence, you know, running it through, leaking it to the press, taking the press report, using that to get a FISA, all of that stuff, you know, coming after Carter Page, all of the smear tactics, the besmirching, if you will. And, of course, they were mentioned many times in Mueller's final report as, quote, the firm that produced the Steele report. But when pressed on this by Representative Steve Chabot of Ohio, Mueller said he didn't know Fusion GPS. He said, I'm not familiar with that. The congressman said, this is not a trick question. And we're talking about Fusion GPS. Everybody's been talking about Fusion GPS for the last year. It's like, not only does Bob Mueller not read his own reports, he doesn't even watch the news. He doesn't even watch CNN. Even CNN was talking about Fusion GPS. Oh, they talked about that quite a bit. You know, you would think that you know, he'd be familiar with that. Oh, well, I'm not familiar with that. It's outside my purview. I cannot comment on that. It's not in my purview. And everything seemed to be outside of his purview. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of what factually came out about what he did not know and the people that he tried to entrap, like Roger Stone. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to get back to Bob Mueller for the questions that he would not answer or could not answer. But before we do, real quickly, I want to tell you about some of the specials that we have at Infowars.com. And we have at Infowarsstore.com all storable foods up to 50% off. DNA Force Plus is 50% off. That is a big, big dollar savings. That's a very expensive supplement for us to produce. And 50% off is a big dollar savings. Also, a big dollar savings on Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. 40% off. That is our gravity feed water filtration system. And, of course, you'll be able to use that even if you lose power. So it's great to have the ability to clean your water even if you have some kind of a storm. And, of course, it's summer now, but hurricane season is going to be coming around again. If you have any kind of a power outage or something like that, you can still have clean, fresh water, an unlimited supply of that, if you can at least get to some water that's even dirty. But the best thing about this that we use in our house all the time is to make sure that we are getting any kind of contaminant that might find its way into our water out. Because it doesn't matter whether you live in an urban area or a rural area, you can always have things that get in there by accident. You can have industrial spills into the groundwater supply if you're on a well. You can also have pesticides that get down into the groundwater things like glyphosate. And, of course, we've had now several trials, as well as everybody outside of the U.S. regulatory agencies talking about the dangers of exposure to glyphosate. But still, people are using it in the United States. It's still approved by those people at the FDA. They don't seem to have a problem with that. They have a problem with using your own stem cells to cure your body. But not a problem with glyphosate because, you know, it's all about the money. So you're going to still find that being used. Even people, if you don't have farms around the area, you might have your neighbors spraying that for weed control. So you want to make sure that anything like that, especially if you live on a city water supply, they'll deliberately put things like fluoride and chlorine in your water that you don't want to drink. And then occasionally they'll have some mistakes like they did in Flint, Michigan. You might find that there's lead there, and you're not going to know that until you see the symptoms and it's too late. So always be proactive. You can get the Alexipure Pro water filtration system, our Gravity Feed water filtration system, 40% off. Also, InfoWars Life Protein Bars, 40% off. A lot of specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's go back to the report here. Again, the Fusion GPS created a great deal of confusion for Bob Mueller, pretending that he doesn't know anything about it. And maybe he doesn't. I mean, that's the question. The question in my mind today, is he really this uninformed after all of this? Or is he just corrupt and lying and stonewalling people on things? So here's how it went down. It's in his report, as the firm that produced the Steele dossier, as I pointed out, you had a representative from Ohio, Steve Shabbat, I think is the way he pronounced his name, not sure, asking him. He says, well, I'm not familiar with that. He says, it's not a trick question. It was Fusion GPS. Well, I'm not familiar with that. It's outside my purview. I can't comment on that and so forth. Then Jim Jordan took it up again. Jim Jordan said to him, he said, Papadopoulos tells diplomats that Russians have dirt on Clinton. And then the diplomats tell the FBI. What I'm wondering is, who told Papadopoulos? Bob Mueller. I can't get into that. Yes, you can, said Jim Jordan, because you wrote about it. You tell us who told him. You tell us that it was Joseph Mifsud. But then he, you know, doesn't do anything about it. As one person, Sheldon Kaufman, pointed out, he said, Mueller looks like a student who paid someone to write his term paper, and now he's being questioned by an honor board. Then Matt Gaetz really got into it with him about the Steele dossier. Matt Gaetz said, Director Mueller, can you state with confidence the Steele dossier was not part of the Russian disinformation campaign? And Mueller says, no, that part of the building of the case predated me by at least 10 months. Matt Gaetz says, yeah, and Paul Manafort's alleged crimes regarding tax evasion predated you, but you had no trouble charging him. As a matter of fact, the Steele dossier predated Attorney General Barr, and he didn't have any problem answering the question when Senator Cornyn asked the Attorney General the exact same question I just asked you, Director. And he went on to say, you identify no factual basis regarding the dossier or the possibility that the dossier was part of the Russia disinformation campaign. Christopher Steele's reporting is referenced in your report. Steele reported to the FBI that senior Russian foreign ministry officials told him that there was extensive evidence of conspiracy between the Trump campaign team and the Kremlin. Here's my question. Did the Russians really tell that to Christopher Steele, or did he just make it all up, and was he lying to the FBI? And again, Mueller would not answer. As I said earlier, with regard to the Steele dossier, that is beyond my purview. And then Matt Gaetz said, no, it is. It is exactly your purview, Director Mueller. Here's why. Only one of two things are possible. Either Steele made this whole thing up, and there were never any Russians telling him any of this vast criminal conspiracy that you didn't find, or the Russians lied to Steele. Which is it? Well, you're not going to get any answers from him. But as Donald Trump Jr. pointed out, he says, Does anybody really believe that Mueller doesn't know about Fusion GPS? I mean, it would just be astounding, wouldn't it, if he was that totally disconnected, that totally uninformed? No, of course, he's lying and stonewalling about this. Now, maybe that's why he's appearing to be so befuddled, hoping that we'll believe that he's an innocent dupe and not a corrupt liar, except that his career trends towards the corrupt liar side of things. Way before, I mean, you know, these are decades that he's been doing this type of stuff to people. Framing innocent people, going after the wrong man for decades, destroying lives, letting corruption happen right underneath his nose, having to pay millions of dollars to one defendant who was framed innocently, millions of dollars to other individuals, four of them, in the case of Whitey Bulger. And as Donald Trump Jr. pointed out, he says, I mean, think about it. You spend $50 million. There's the figure. I didn't know. I thought it was tens of millions of dollars. $50 million in 2 years on an investigation. You don't even know what started the whole thing? I mean, does anybody really believe that, he said? Do these people have any credibility left? Not after yesterday. That is a rhetorical question, of course. A rhetorical question. And then we get to the situation with Roger Stone. As Daily Caller points out, Mueller refused to address whether or not the Roger Stone raid was leaked to CNN. Did people in his department leak this to CNN so they could do a perp walk of Roger Stone? That's what everybody believes. But of course, we would be the conspiracy theorist, not the people who invented all of this stuff from the very beginning and have collected $50 million run this conspiracy besmirching campaign. And so he was being questioned by Utah Representative Chris Stewart. Stewart said, I've got 25 examples of leaks that occurred from the Mueller office and from associates. He says, I'm holding here a binder of 25 examples of leaks that occurred from the special counsel's office and those associated with your work, dating back a few weeks after your inception and beginning of your work and continuing up to just a few months ago, because that would be when the investigation ended, right? Mr. Mueller, are you aware of anyone from your team having given advanced knowledge of the raid on Roger Stone's home to any person in the press, including CNN? Let's say, especially CNN, since they were the only press organization to be there to film it. And, of course, he declined to answer that. I'm not going to talk about specifics. I'm not going to speak to that over and over again. Of course, he wouldn't, because then that would bring up other issues besides just lying and changing his story and lying under oath. He said the Republican then went on to say, Chris Stewart said, the leaks were designed to weaken or to embarrass the president, every single one of them. And that's not only just the leaks, but the persecution of Roger Stone. The persecution of Roger Stone is designed to embarrass President Trump. That's all there is. That's the only thing that is there. And as you look at this, as you look at the fact that going back to April, the FBI refused a records request from the Federalist for emails of CNN on the day of the raid. Many people believe that that's exactly what had happened. I mean, you know, if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it's a duck. But of course, we would be conspiracy theorists, and they are not. All of this, Russia did it. Russia hacked the election. You know, oh, yeah, $100,000 worth of ads on Facebook when the entire platform is skewed against President Trump. Oh, they hacked the election. And as I said before, a big part of this problem is the fact that President Trump doesn't want to walk away from the seminal lie. So I would say the seminal lie is not the dirty dossier from Christopher Steele. The seminal lie is the idea that Russians got that information from Hillary Clinton and then that Russians rigged the election and so forth. And if you're going to accept that lie, President Trump, for the benefit of the CIA, that's going to come back and continue to bite you. And it's going to keep us from getting these people to answer for their crimes and reform this system.
Liberty, it's your move. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Again, let's understand that the seminal lie of this whole Russiagate conspiracy theory is not the Steele dossier. It's the idea that Russia is behind all of this. Julian Assange, as well as a former UK ambassador, both said, this was handed over by a whistleblower inside. They were upset about what Hillary and the insiders and the DNC, all the superdelegates had done. She had that whole thing sewed up before they ever started the primaries. We talked about this through the whole primary process. We would say, look at this. Bernie Sanders won And yet she got more delegates because she got the superdelegates in state after state after state. Yeah, the Bernie Sanders supporters are very upset about that. Somebody internally turned that information over to embarrass her, to expose her. I was there covering it for InfoWars, the Democratic convention. I talked to the Bernie Sanders supporters. They were very angry at the way they've been treated. Any number of them could have done it. Personally, I still think it was Seth Rich. That seemed to be indicated by Julian Assange. He wouldn't say that. Julian Assange has never lied to us about anything. And he said it was not a state actor that was involved in any of that stuff. This was a misdirection so that people wouldn't look at the content that was there. And it succeeded wonderfully because all the mainstream media and the establishment in Washington kept pushing that. That is the seminal lie. And now we have a federal judge holding that Bob Mueller had no evidence to support Russian government was behind the 2016 social media manipulation, for example. I mean, first it was, you know, they got my emails. And I think, no, they didn't. William Binney, global technical head for decades of the NSA. This guy knows what he's talking about when it comes to technology. He showed that it could not have been hacked. And so he validated what Julian Assange and others had told us, that it was turned over by a whistleblower. William Binney even briefed President Trump. President Trump knows better than this. And he continues, along with many of these Republicans, to say, well, you know, yeah, Russia tampered with our election. Why are they doing that? Because the intelligence community and the deep state want to continue with the tactics that they're doing and their contracts, their military-industrial complex contracts, to continue to build a network to spy on Americans. And they want to use this fear of foreign intervention to continue to spy on us. And a big part of that is what they're doing. DARPA working with a shell corporation that is underneath Microsoft. And so Microsoft and this other corporation are working with DARPA, millions of dollars to set up NewsGuard. They're going to tell you what is truthy and what isn't. They're going to put a seal of approval, not on an individual article, but on an entire organization. So that everything this one organization over here says is true, everything this other organization says over here is always false. But that is never true. And so you can put a big fake news symbol on NewsGuard itself. That whole premise is ridiculous on the face of it. Even the New York Times gets things occasionally right, or the Washington Post. And I don't know about CNN. But, you know, even these organizations that are notorious about having to walk stuff back, like the New York Post, and the New York Times and the Washington Post, occasionally they get it right. But they're going to tell you, you don't trust any of these people. But the most worrying thing is what they're putting in with Election Guard. Because they have created this fear, uncertainty, and doubt about our elections. And this is why it's wrong for President Trump to throw this bone to the intelligence community. Because they're using that in the same way that the Trump, the Steele dossier was used to go after President Trump and to get the FISA warrant. These people are using the fear, uncertainty, and doubt about Russian interference with the election to set up a program run by Microsoft called Election Guard that's going to be the operating system of all the voting machines. And they're moving everything over to electronic voting. That means that DARPA and these people who just tried to orchestrate a coup of the last election will be counting the votes. And if we go through this whole pretense of saying Russia manipulated the election, that's what we're going to wind up with. You got to confront that.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
I think one of the most interesting things that came out of the hearing yesterday were the lies on CNN. Anderson Cooper, told by Ted Lieu from California, Democrat from California. Now, these are the people saying, yeah, look at this. He said there's multiple felonies being committed by President Trump, and we can get him after he gets out of being the president, right? And so Ted Lieu, congressman from California, goes on CNN on Anderson Cooper 360, and he said, what the hearing showed today, that Donald Trump committed multiple acts of obstruction of justice. Now, just think about this. On the face of it, right? This investigation ran for years. $50 million. 2 to 3 years. This has been going on. And actually, you know, that's just the part of Mueller that went for 2 years. Prior to that, you had Comey trying to set things up. Comey trying to entrap President Trump and so forth. And yet they came up with absolutely nothing. And President Trump didn't shut it down. They've got a massive report so big that Bob Mueller couldn't read it. Didn't have the time to read it. Even with all that money, you couldn't pay Bob Mueller to read this. You couldn't pay me to read it either. I'm not interested. I can tell you day one what was going on with this. It's absolute nonsense. It's one of the most feeble conspiracy theories I've ever seen in my life. And yet, they're still going on with this. There's no obstruction of justice. President Trump didn't shut it down. Quite frankly, if I'd have been in his place, I would have shut it down. I would have said, this is nonsense. Put up or shut up. I would have shut it down. Then they would have come after me for obstruction of justice. But President Trump let this thing run out. Anyway, he said, Trump committed multiple acts of obstruction of justice. This is what we learned from the hearings today, said Ted Lieu on Anderson Cooper. Those are felonies, said Lieu. What the American people in Congress choose to do with that information, we'll see in the next few days and weeks. And then he went on. He said, if the American people are watching this, the only conclusion that they can conclude is collusion, right? Is that the Russians systematically and sweepingly interfered in our 2016 elections. Oh, really? The Trump campaign embraced that interference, and then the president committed multiple acts of obstruction of justice to stop the investigation into that interference. Well, again, as I just pointed out to you, a judge just said, shut down that conspiracy theory and said there wasn't any influence of the election by these Russians. But anyway, he goes on with that. He says, Bob Mueller himself brings up the fact that he did not exonerate the president. And then he says that the OLC opinion prevents me from indicting a sitting president. Well, let's talk about two things there. First of all, yes, it's not just an OLC opinion. It's the Constitution, the way the Constitution works, so that we can actually have an executive that functions, right? Because what would happen if we had a president, an executive, who was able to be stymied by every little court and lawsuit and judge across the country? That's why they did that. That's why they had the impeachment proceedings, except that that is exactly what's being done to President Trump now, because he has accepted the idea that became popular in the 20th century that any judge anywhere could overrule the president or the Congress, and everybody bows down to that, even though they don't have to. The Congress and the president are co-equal branches of the judiciary. As a matter of fact, the judiciary doesn't have any way to enforce these issues unless these other branches bow down to them. That's what the founders said. They said they're not as dangerous as the other two because they don't have any power to enforce it. They've got an opinion. As Andrew Jackson said, let's see them enforce it. To the Supreme Court, he said that. And yet, now we have the tradition that presidents, especially Republican presidents, because Obama didn't do this too much, will bow down to any single federal judge. And the ones at the appeals level, we got about 1,000 of those. You know, overall, if you count these administrative judges in these so-called bureaucratic courts, you've got about 3,500 of them. Any single one of them can veto the president. He has to bow down to that, according to them. Well, no, that's not the case. And they never intended for that to be the case. The reason we have impeachment is because we didn't want the judiciary to be weaponized to stymie the president, which is exactly what's happening in other ways. But what happens is you would have the Congress would have to take the time to do an indictment. That's essentially what impeachment is. Instead of having a grand jury, you know, one prosecutor in one jurisdiction continually coming after President Trump, as we see in New York and in California all the time, about all these other issues. They would have to come after him and impeach him. They would have to come after him personally. And there isn't any provision for the courts to essentially block the president from protecting the border or anything like that. They don't have the power to do that. There isn't any provision for Congress to do that either. It's clear under the Constitution that the executive has the power to protect the country, to protect the borders. I mean, that was the key thing that the federal government was about. Defense. Not about the welfare state. It was about defending this country. It wasn't about getting into foreign wars. And so this is not simply an OLC opinion that prevents them from indicting a president. If there's something wrong, the Congress has the responsibility to indict the president. It's called an impeachment. The Congress acts as a grand jury. Then there is a trial in the Senate. And then the president is removed if he's found guilty in all those in that process. But that's the process. Then he goes on to say, Bob Mueller himself brings up the fact that he did not exonerate the president. Well, as several congressmen pointed out, that's not the standard of law. In America, you're supposed to have the presumption of innocence. And the government is supposed to come up with reasons for why this person ought to be indicted or impeached or whatever, and then find them guilty. You don't pronounce people innocent. You know, the standard is not guilty of what you just charged them with. And you got to have something to charge them with. You don't have, as one congressman said, where is the Office of Exoneration in the Department of Justice? There isn't one. That has never been the standard. This is a new standard that's been invented by the Democrats. And then, but you have Ted Lieu saying Mueller himself said that he would have indicted him, that he committed multiple acts of obstruction of justice. Those are felonies, and so we're going to get him one way or the other, and we should now impeach him. Katie Pavlik said in a series of tweets, she said, well, first of all, on March the 5th of this year, Bob Mueller and multiple staff had a meeting with the Department of Justice with Attorney General Bill Barr and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Barr and his staff asked Mueller and his staff three times if they weren't indicting President Trump on obstruction. And they said, the staff said three times the answer was no. And a lack of evidence was reason for the lack of charges, not because there were rules saying that they don't indict. They said, no, there is no evidence. And that, by the way, is why Barr and Rosenstein came up with their summary. They asked them three times, is there evidence of obstruction? And they said, no, three times. Okay, so now we're going to draw that conclusion for you and summarize it. That's when the Democrats got upset about it. And so you got Ted Lieu lying about this yesterday, lying about it. He knows what the facts are. Special counsel then said they did not want to leave the impression that OLC was the reason for no indictment. Quote, trying to state evidence dispassionately to not leave the impression that we would indict, but for the OLC opinion. In other words, we're trying to just lay this out here in an objective way, and we don't want to leave the impression that we would do an indictment except for the OLC opinion, which is exactly what Ted Lieu said. He said, well, they would have indicted him except that they couldn't because of the OLC opinion. And now Bob Mueller has walked back that. Bob Mueller comes out after Ted Lieu says that. He says, I want to add one correction to my testimony this morning. I want to go back to one thing that was said this morning by Mr. Ted Lieu, who said, and I quote, you didn't charge the president because of the Office of Legal Counsel opinion. That is not the correct way to say it. As we say in the report, and as I said in the opening, we did not reach a determination as to whether or not the president committed a crime. End of story. End of impeachment. I tell you what, and it's not the end of the slander coming from the Democrats. They will continue to lie. And even if they do it under oath, like you saw Bob Mueller do yesterday, there isn't going to be any penalty for them, just like there wasn't for James Clapper. We lie to every American. All right, we're going to take a look at the reactions to various people, Hollywood, politicians, and others. We have all these Hollywood stars had already made up their mind, and they took to Twitter demanding impeachment. No more effing around, they say, right? One after the other. Rob Reiner, known to many of us as the Meathead, we didn't realize that that's exactly what he is in real life. That role that he played in the Archie Bunker comedy, that's really what this guy is in real life. I mean, he's kind of like a left-wing John Wayne. Now, John Wayne really was that guy in real life. Well, you know, Rob Reiner really is the Meathead, unfortunately, in real life. It's imperative, he said. Congress must start an impeachment inquiry. the president colluded with a foreign enemy power to undermine our democracy. Again, as I pointed out, a federal judge just looked at the evidence, said there is no evidence that the Russian government had anything to do with any social media trolling. First of all, there's no evidence that the social media trolling, as small as it was, could have changed the election. You're talking about $100,000 worth of ads, an election which billions of dollars are spent by each campaign and much more by others, and where the entire social media platform is rigged against the president? Are you kidding me? But then the whole idea that there is a connection to the Russian government, the U.S. District Judge Dabney Friedrich of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia just struck that down. He began unsealing legal briefs and transcripts that expose the fact that Mueller's 448-page report, see, that's why Mueller didn't read it. It's too long. And there's nothing there, prompted to seek contempt proceedings. The argument was that Mueller prejudiced a potential jury by stating that the Kremlin ran the social media campaign, which he argued without evidence that the Russian government funded Concord. See, this organization, you know, they indicted a lot of these people from Russia to embarrass the president as he was headed to a summit with Vladimir Putin. What they didn't expect was that some of the people that they smeared in a foreign country would come to the United States to defend their innocence. Ooh, that kind of blew up in their face, because then when they went to court, the district judge said, you've got absolutely no evidence. He said, there's no connection contained in the special counsel's indictment. There's no evidence to support their public statements. End of story. The only evidence we have is the echo chamber of Hollywood stars like Meathead Rob Reiner or John Cusack or Deborah Messing or Rosie O'Donnell. Impeach him, damn it. Somebody say it. Well, she just did. Or Alec Baldwin. Oh, Trump is cooking slowly now. He says by next fall, he'll be fully cooked. Oh, yeah, really? Okay, well, we'll see about that. Bob Mueller delivered the goods. Will the Democrats feast on them, says the Daily Beast. Oh, you think so? You think so? You know, others do not. Even other Democrats do not. Michael Moore, again, as I pointed out earlier, I said it before, a frail old man, unable to remember things, stumbling, refusing to answer basic questions. I said it in 2017, and Mueller confirmed it today. All you pundits and moderates and lame Democrats who told the public to put their faith in the esteemed Bob Mueller, just shut up now. And then Nancy Pelosi obviously didn't think that it went well for their side. She has rebuffed Jerry Nadler on impeachment. She says, well, we still have outstanding matters that have to be resolved before we make a decision about this. GOP Representative Byrne said it was a very bad day for Nancy Pelosi because she's now caught in a vice. She's got the radicals in her party squeezing her on one side. And on the other side are the facts and the failure of Bob Mueller. He said, we learned absolutely nothing today. This is Bradley Byrne. He's running for U.S. Senate in Alabama. We learned absolutely nothing today. You know, we really do need to impeach, they say. Well, they got nothing. It was terrible TV what they got today. And there was nothing new. You've even got CNN. This is a headline from CNN. Mueller's report looks bad for Obama. Talking about the fact that if there is Russian manipulation of the election, it all happened under Obama's watch. Oh, by the way. Okay. You've got National Review. Today, impeachment died another death. Fox News anchor contacted 70 House Democrats to appear on her show. Not a single one responded. Now, that tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it? I mean, they might talk, Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff, all these people. They may talk, oh, yeah, we got all the goods, and we need to move forward with impeachment and everything. Nancy Pelosi's like, let's wait and see. I don't think we've really got anything to do with that yet. But the fact that 70 of them, 70 House Democrats, were contacted by Shannon Bream. She went on Twitter. She said, will you come on my show and talk about it? Nobody would respond to her. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. 70 of them. President Trump, and let's get the clip of what President Trump's reaction was. Actually, he took to Twitter and he thanked the Democrats for the Mueller hearings, the Mueller competency hearing. Yes, the Democrats, as well as Bob Mueller, are totally incompetent. And they should all be committed. As I've said for a long time, I think the appropriate way to cover these debates is not necessarily as a circus. I think it is an insane asylum. And I think the people who should be locked up are actually running the insane asylum. That would be the Democrats. Yeah, it's more like Arkham Asylum. It is, the House has become a warehouse for the criminally insane. And we could see that yesterday in that competency hearing. Yes, they are totally incompetent. President Trump had this to say.
The Democrats had nothing, and now they have less than nothing.
Yeah, they had nothing, and now they got less than nothing. You got nothing. You should do Bob De Niro. You talking about me? You talking about me? Piers Morgan, shambolic Mueller train wreck testimony has left his reputation trashed. The dumbstruck Democrats. No, they're just dumb. Dead as dodos, and President Trump is laughing all the way to a second term. As I point out, you know, this is like Brer Rabbit. He's caught by the fox. You know, don't throw me in that briar patch. Well, they did. They went down that path, and they got absolutely nothing from it. As many people are pointing out, did Mueller testify on a report he never read? You know, that's the question. I really do think, though, when he starts lying about things like Fusion GPS, I don't think that it's mental incompetence, some kind of an age-related issue going on with him. I don't think it's just laziness that he didn't bother to read the 448-page report that cost years worth of our time and $50 million. I don't think it's that. I think he's a lying, dishonest individual. And I think he's been doing dishonest things under the purview of the government for quite a long time. We had a long track record of this that we produced as he was chosen for that position. So this guy is Mr. Swamp himself. You know, they get these guys who look good on TV. They're tall, like Comey the giraffe. And, you know, these guys are just icons that they put out there. But they're hopelessly corrupt. I mean, Comey. Comey, who is the homie of HSBC, the organization that has been caught twice, even under the Obama administration. Yes, they only gave him a slap on the wrist for doing money laundering for El Chapo. El Chapo, right? The Sinaloa cartel. HSBC, while Comey was on the board of directors, they gave the Sinaloa cartel, El Chapo, their own special window to put the cash that they were money laundering through. They got caught twice. Still, nobody went to jail. They got a minor slap on the wrist, just like Facebook did. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Gerald Celente. Of course, you can find Gerald's Trends Journal at his website, trendsresearch.com. Trendsresearch.com to get some samples of Trends Journal. And, of course, Gerald Celente, everyone here at InfoWars knows him, a guest of ours, a friend of InfoWars for many, many years, and always on point with the trends that are coming. So I want to talk to Gerald today. We'll talk about war and peace, but we'll also talk about the economy. I want to begin with the economy. Thank you for joining us, Gerald.
Oh, thanks for having me on, David.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy because, you know, all this stuff about Mueller has kind of pushed all this deficit situation off of the table, out of the press cycle. But, of course, prior to this happening, everybody was talking about what's going on in Washington. It used to be that we would at least have the Republicans at least talking about some kind of fiscal responsibility, some kind of a budget. But now they've just decided that they don't care about that anymore, and they're not even going to have any deficit ceiling for the next 2 years. And they added another $320 billion worth of spending just like that. What do you think?
I mean, another $320 billion is stealing our money and giving it to their friends. Is that what you were trying to say?
Yeah.
So let's make this clear. That's all this game is. And by the way, you know, just sort of quickly, you know, I was the campaign coordinator out of graduate school for the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York. It's a city of 300,000 people. The guy went on to become the longest running mayor ever. And I worked on political campaigns, and I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate as a young man. So I know what it looks like from the inside. And all these government jobs are the big on these kind of levels. All it is slimers that people call politicians giving their friends jobs and creating more of them so they can get more favors and more votes. So they're just stealing our money to give it to their friends. It doesn't come back to us, whether it goes into the military-industrial complex, where they're doing favors for Big Pharma. And again, you know, Trump said he was going to drain the swamp. He brought more swamp creatures in. He just brought in a biggest lobbyist over there. What's that guy he just brought in recently from the military-industrial complex? He brought in Scalia's son. I mean, there's nobody else out there. You know, so it's one big club, and they're just robbing our dough. And the point is that they could get away with it because today, for example, the euro has hit a 2-year low. So all the global economies are going down. They could build up our debt level. The dollar remains strong because the other ones are so weak. It's as
You're
simple
talking about
as
the euro.
That.
What do you think about Deutsche Bank? Again, we mentioned that last time. You said you didn't think it was another Lehman Brothers. Have you changed your opinion on that?
Well, it's not another Lehman Brothers, but it's a canary in the coal mine. In other words, they're going to save it as much as they can. It won't bring down the system, but it's showing you what the system looks like. David, I had forecast in the beginning of this month, as a matter of fact, a trend alert just went out a couple hours ago. Prepare for the greatest depression.
This is because this is the biggest bubble that's about to burst.
So
yeah, it was amazing to see Elizabeth Warren was saying that. And I said, no, you know, at the same time, we got Schumer, Pelosi and Trump saying, no problem. You know, it's happy days are here again. And we're going to forget about any budget ceiling for the next couple of years. And Elizabeth Warren is saying something bad is coming. And of course, everybody in the financial business is saying, you know, we can't keep going up and up and up always, as you've been saying, you know, it's going to be a bubble. It's going to burst at some point in time. And yet Elizabeth Warren is going to come out and say, see, I told you so. But she's one of these people who wants to add tens of trillions of dollars to spending. She doesn't have any solutions.
She's another loser. Yeah. As I said, it reminds me of my 10th grade English teacher, you know, this attitude of hers, talking down all the time.
And she's a very smarmy teacher. Like, that's exactly the vibe that comes off to me as well.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, but again, Elizabeth Warren says prepare for, you know, a catastrophe when people like myself have been saying it and giving us the data. Oh, that doesn't mean anything. And now 6 years later, we hear it from her. Oh, now it's time to listen. Look, you were talking about the Mueller reports. This is kindergarten crap. That's all the news is kindergarten crap. I don't waste 1 second watching or listening to this BS because I have more important information.
Opera.
That I need to learn about. And that's all the mainstream news has become. It's junk. So they could get away with, going back to your question, that they could get away with increasing our budget deficit because all they're doing is the same thing they did to the financial system. They keep pumping in more monetary methadone to keep the bull addicts running. That's all they are. They're addicts. They're no different than drug addicts. They're gamblers. You can't stop a gambler that's addicted to stop gambling. And that's who we have running the country. The morons and imbeciles call them central banks.
That's right. And because we have the ability, because we're the reserve currency, we don't have any responsibility. I mean, we just saw what happened in Puerto Rico. And I think now we understand that RICO represents racketeer-influenced and corrupt organizations because of what happened there. The people had to throw this guy out, but they don't have the ability like we do with the Federal Reserve to just print money. You know, and we keep abusing that power. It's going to be taken away by other nations, and they're working very hard to take that ability away from us. But everybody else, whether it's Puerto Rico and the corruption that's there, or whether it is Venezuela or Zimbabwe, they all face the piper. And if we lose our reserve currency status because we abuse this, we're going to be facing that piper as well.
We are going to lose it. It's only a matter of time. And I believe the kind of things that are going to make us lose it is America's penchant for war in the Middle East. Because you're seeing already the European Union and Russia and China doing new deals and trying to buy Iranian oil. I mention this because once we lose the petrodollar, then it's going to kill the dollar, is my forecast. And mm-hmm. I say that about the petrodollar because when you buy oil, it's based in dollars, petrodollars. So when they get rid of that, if the United States forces that, that's going to be a real problem.
And it's already happening, as you've been pointing out many times when you come on this show. I mean, we've got Russia and China working to get around the American dollar when they clear their exchanges of goods, including oil. And yet you hear the mainstream media, oh, well, look, you know, $100,000 worth of ads bought by Russian company. Oh, well, that's the Russian government overthrowing our election. And they don't take a look at the fact that the Russians and the Chinese are trying to overthrow this reserve currency status that we got, which will overthrow the entire economy of this country because it's based on our ability to not have any accountability on our budgets.
Yeah, $100,000, right? What did Clinton spend on the campaign? About $2
billion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a joke. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's a joke. And people are caught up in this stupidity, so they're not seeing the future.
Yeah.
The future is happening in front of their eyes, and all we're getting is news from 3 years ago today. That's all they're giving us. This is junk news, doesn't mean a damn thing, and they're missing the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is the greatest depression is on the horizon, and people better start preparing to prevail and prosper, because this is going to be like nothing anyone's seen. Not only the United States, look at the debt level in China, over $40 trillion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And some very bad economic trends that have come out there in the last week or so. As we look at even, you know, these same countries that are working to use their own currencies to clear exchange of petroleum instead of using the petrodollar. They want to use the ruble. They want to use the Chinese yuan and so forth. They are also getting massive amounts of gold because they also see this coming.
Exactly. The central banks have bought more gold last year, 2018, than they have in 50 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we got to take a break. We're going to be right back with Gerald Celente, and we'll talk about what's going on in the Middle East. We've had some developments, of course, in the last few days. Nobody's talking about that. It's all about Mueller. But we'll talk about what's going on with Iran when we come back with Gerald Celente. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're going to be going back to Gerald Celente in just a second. We're going to talk about whether or not we can get out of this prison that the Federal Reserve and the military-industrial complex have put us in to, whether we can escape this war that they're trying to drive us into. Before we do, real quickly, I want to remind you of the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have 50% off DNA Force Plus. We have all storable foods up to 50% off. We have the InfoWars Life protein bars, 40% off. And we have the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. That's our gravity feed water filtration system. That is 40% off. Big dollar savings on these items. Storable foods, DNA Force Plus, the Pro water filtration system, all of those are very expensive items. When you get 40, 50% off of those, that's a big dollar savings. Right now, you can find that at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support. We really do need your support. And you, the only way that we are funded is by the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. So take a look at those specials. I think you'll find something there that you can save a lot of money on. At the same time, you can support independent free press here at InfoWars.com. Gerald, you know, before we move on to War and Peace, and I guess kind of tangentially to this, you know, the bankers seem to always be the ones who profit from these wars. We've got the Federal Reserve out there declaring war on the climate. They're now going to hold their first ever conference dedicated to climate change. At the same time, Tulsi Gabbard, who has been outspoken against our forever foreign wars, has now co-sponsored an audit the Fed bill, sounding more and more like Ron Paul on many issues.
Right.
Of course, she doesn't support him on some of these other issues. But again, on military engagement abroad, as well as the Fed, she's now signed on co-sponsor of an audit the Fed bill. Your comments.
No, she's about the only one I support so far, you know, for her anti-war stance. And, you know, I launched Occupy Peace And that's where my passion is. I put my money where my heart is. And I also really asking people, as you said, what keeps InfoWars going and people buying the products and how great products they are. And I love that Super Meal Vitality.
Oh, yeah.
As an old cat,
that's
50%
off right now.
You know, I got to get a little juice in me, you know, as I get older, you know. So this stuff, I really love it. So people really need to do what they can to keep the truth going out there, because the prostitute media has killed it. Going back to the Tulsi Gabbard and the Fed, and again, it's the whole thing is a racket, and there's nothing more to it than that. Why do we have a private bank telling us what to do with our economy and our money? And it's totally against the Constitution. And, you know, by the way, David, people, you know, as you know, I'm a political atheist, and people ask me, you know, a Republican, a Democrat. If I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a conservative. I'm not a progressive. I'm an American. Could you handle that? And I abide by what the Declaration of Independence and Constitution stands for. And I don't need somebody dressed up in court drag with their costumes on to tell me how to interpret it. I could figure it out myself.
Yes, that's right. And yeah, so they're the ones. That's the real problem, isn't it, Gerald? How we've got these judges everywhere.
Judge this.
Yeah, they have interjected themselves into every aspect of our lives. And the problem is that we have a long string of presidents. President Trump is just the latest one to bow down to any pronouncement for them. I mean, the founders wouldn't do that. Andrew Jackson wouldn't do that. And we have governors and state legislatures who do that for the most part. The only time they've ever stood up to them was on marijuana. And, you know, we had legislatures as well as the people with their referenda say, you know what, we're not going to lock people up in jail anymore. If we had people at the grassroots level really stand up for their freedoms like they did for medical marijuana, we could overthrow this. You know, even Jeff Sessions, as much as he wanted to do that, was reluctant to do that, because we would have shown that the emperor has no clothes. And I think that would have been a very, very powerful moment for the people to take back their power from the federal government, and especially from these judges who have stolen that power from us because we've just given it up.
I know. And again, two things. First of all, on marijuana, the only reason they're letting this thing go through is because they want the tax money.
Exactly.
And who are they? Who are these little clowns to tell us what we should be doing with nature's plant? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we're going to, you know, just made this crap up in the 1930s that it's illegal. But now you're saying it's legal because you want money so you could create new agencies and give your friends new jobs and steal more of our money to buy what we want. So
look at Boehner.
And
look at
Boehner.
He said all these years, Boehner would say, I'm unalterably opposed to it. I mean, it's not even going to talk about it, legalizing marijuana. And now I go to websites and they pop up ads where he wants to tell everybody what a great investment it is. It's exhibit A of the corruption.
That's the perfect example of a slimy little boy. And I would call Boehner that to his face. The lives that these people have ruined.
Yes.
The millions of lives that they've ruined. And now this slimy little boy is taking the dough to fulfill himself and get richer. So the second issue is marijuana, and the other one, people standing up. You began by talking about the protests that are happening in Puerto Rico, and they just threw out the clown, jerk, moron, scum that was running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the people in this country standing up and going out? They are cowards of USA. People don't fight anymore. Oh, don't fight. Don't get angry. Swallow their crap. Bend over and follow orders. Be a good girl and boy. There's no fight in America. All you got is two corrupt parties running and ruining this country. And here's my slogan that I came up with this past weekend. Game over, fights on. And that's what I'm doing. Fights on. I'm a warrior in the ranks of the Prince of Peace. I'm fighting for peace. I don't want to die for war. So that's the choice. Oh, you can't fight for peace. Okay, don't fight for peace. Die for war.
Yeah. And you know, that's what happened this week, as Tulsi Gabbard said, somebody asked her about Kamala Harris. She said, well, I don't think she had the, she's qualified. She doesn't have the temperament to be commander in chief. She said, we've seen, and this is a quote from Gabbard. She said, consequences of what happens when we have presidents of either political party who lack experience, who lack foreign policy understanding, who therefore fall under the influence of the foreign policy establishment, the military industrial complex. And so then Kamala Harris comes back and says, well, we will do a definite hard pass on taking national security advice from Assad's cheerleaders, because Tulsi Gabbard would talk to Assad instead of trying to start a war and overthrow the regime. She's now a cheerleader, according to Kamala Harris.
And what Tulsi Gabbard should tell her, go F you. I don't want to hear your crap. And you know what Tulsi Gabbard also missed? That these little boys that start wars, these psychopaths, these sick people, they couldn't fight their way out of a paper bag. You want to go start a war, Junior? Go lead the charge. Send yourself, send your wife, send your kids, and send your money, or shut your fat mouth. That's what I would tell every politician out there.
That's the way it typically is. I mean, look at the warmongers. Very few of them have any military experience. Even the ones who are in the Army, they necessarily weren't necessarily in a war. If you look at the polls that just came out about the veterans of Afghanistan and Iraq, two-thirds of them say it was not worth it. But actually, that's not that much different from the general American public. Even the American public who did not go to the war understand that we didn't get anything out of it.
Look what they just did. The Democrats and the Repulsivekins just passed a $733 billion defense budget.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That was the justification for kicking the can down the road and saying we're not going to have a budget ceiling. It's a big win for the military, President Trump said. Well, it's about time we do something for the American public. When we can't even use the military to protect our own border, why do we keep adding more every year to the military budget than the entire budget of Russia? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, you got it. What is it? Russia's defense budget is about $60 billion or something?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Every year they're adding more. The increase is bigger than their entire budget.
Yeah. So here's what Occupy Peace, with the first point of it, is to close the 800 bases in 79 countries overseas, bring home the troops to secure the homeland. It's very simple.
Yes. That's the one place they will not use the American military. Any place on earth, any president, either party, can send the military without any notification even. I mean, we've got military bases and airfields in Syria. Where did we have the notification on that? We had, the back and forth between Sessions and Panetta. You know, you're going to tell us? No, we may. Well, they didn't. And yet that's the one place they will not use the military is to protect America. What does that tell us about that?
Look at the two names you just mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you very much. And again, Gerald Celente, you can find him TrendsResearch.com. That's where you can find his excellent publication, Trends Journal. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Keep on lying. Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have Gerald Celente with us for one more segment. Glad that he could stay with us because we didn't get to Iran. And Gerald, on Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported that there were going to be another 500 of the 1,000 troops that were heading to the Middle East. Another 500 of them are going to go to an air base in Saudi Arabia that has been closed to American troops since Baghdad fell in the initial invasion of Iraq back in 2003. And this was a reaction within 24 hours of Iran seizing two British tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. And so now they're talking about this tanker war. And it really is kind of a slow motion escalation into a war, one provocation after the other on either side. Your comments.
Well, let's go to the tankers. What was the country that hijacked, pirated the Iranian oil tanker off the Straits of Gibraltar? The UK.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, David, I suspect that they're going to take that oil and bring it over to Syria. I suspect that's the word they use. Mm-hmm. So we're going to hijack this thing because it's against EU sanctions and we don't want it going there. Who the hell are you? Get the hell off my ship. We're the English, and we're following orders because we're
Bolton
part of
was
this.
Very excited about the fact that you had, these tankers seized. Oh yeah, look at this. We got exactly what we were hoping to get when we went in there in a confrontational way.
So then Iran has been trying to get that tanker back, and after they had another meeting last week, the British announced, "Well, we're going to hold it for another 30 days." We're going to come up with another line of BS to shove down your throat, and we're not going to give it back to you. So payback's a bitch. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you can't take our tanker. We could only take yours.
Exactly. And that's the way that's always reported. You don't hear anything about that. I mean, when you look at the American understanding of Iran, it begins with the takeover of the American embassy. We don't understand how we overthrew their government decades before and put in the Shah of Iran with his secret police, the Savak, trained by the CIA to torture political prisoners. We don't see any of that, right?
Yeah, exactly. But how many people know about the democratically elected government of Iran in 1953 and the overthrow by Kermit Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt's grandson, a great-grandson, who's a CIA over there? And the reason being is that Mossadegh, who was elected, had the nerve, the gall, to say that, no, we own the oil, not Anglo-Iranian oil, better known today as BP, or Standard Oil, better known today as ExxonMobil. So that was a perfectly good reason to overthrow the government. And in June of 2017, they finally let us see the CIA documents quoting Winston Churchill saying that we want that energy from Iran. But of course, we're not allowed to see anything. The government keeps it all. We only pay them and they tell us what to do. So going back to what you said, how many people know the facts that you know about Iran? And the same thing going on now, because now they're just putting out propaganda. They're saying, oh, you know those ships that were sabotaged? Iran did that. We don't have one shred of evidence, just like the Mueller report. Not one shred of evidence that Russia did it. We'll blame the Russians. We don't have one shred of evidence that the Iranians did it, but we're going to blame them. You know who I think did it? I think the United States and Saudi Arabia did it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put it past them. False flag. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And the reason why Trump did not retaliate against Iran when they shot down that drone. And again, this isn't one of those kid drones. This is, what, $100 million, $200 million drone, depending on whose numbers you're looking at. This is shot down because if they fight Iran, there'll be Pearl Harbor, the Gulf of Persia.
Exactly. They don't want that war. Ultimately, they don't want that. Let's hope that they're not going to have that war. Thank you so much, Cheryl Slinty, trendsresearch.com, where you can find Trends Journal.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As we were saying earlier in the program, we have Nancy Pelosi essentially caught in a vice. She's got the radicals in the party, people like the Squad, or as I prefer to call them, the Sisterhood of Traveling Burkas, pushing very hard for impeachment, people like Nadler and others. She's looking at this and saying, are you crazy? We've got absolutely nothing here. And look at this bumbling presentation of our absolutely nothing done by Bob Mueller yesterday. But she's got the people in Hollywood and these radical socialist communists on the other side pushing her. Now this may be a gift delivered to her by Judicial Watch. Yes, they have now filed an ethics investigation. They've got the House of Representatives ethics office is now going to investigate, quote, substantial, compelling, and to date unrefuted evidence, not investigating President Trump, but Ilhan Omar, that she may have committed perjury, immigration fraud, marriage fraud, state and federal tax fraud, and federal student loan fraud. This is a Judicial Watch complaint that's gone now to the ethics board there. And I talked about this before, about the many different aspects of this. They said it appears that Omar married her brother, reading from the report, the complaint, married her brother in order to assist his immigration to the United States from the United Kingdom. The same immigration fraud scheme may have aided Mr. Elmy in obtaining federally backed student loans for his attendance at North Dakota State University. Mr. Elmy and Representative Omar simultaneously attended North Dakota State University and may have derived illicit benefits predicated on the immigration fraud scheme. Now, it's not just the younger Elmy, but of course her father, who's also Elmy, also committed fraud coming into this country. And we know that for a simple reason, that he was a high-ranking propagandist, a Marxist propagandist for the Somali powers that be there. And as they fell out of power and he had to flee the country, this guy who had long, prior to that, been a Marxist propagandist on this immigration form coming here as a refugee. One of the questions is, have you been a part of a Marxist organization or pushed that information within a certain period of time? And of course, he had just been pushing that when he got his immigration paper. So every immigrant coming in as a refugee has to make a statement about that. And we know from his public activity that he was a Marxist and he lied about that to get in. And then because he got in, she got in. And then she lied about her half-brother being her husband and got him in and then got him into school and so forth. In June, the Minnesota Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board found Ilhan Omar guilty of violating state campaign finance law by using campaign funds for personal expenses, defending herself against these charges of tax fraud and so forth, and forced her to reimburse the campaign. Her 2014 and 2015 federal income tax returns were filed jointly with Hersey, to whom she was not legally married at the time. And then there's the whole menage a trois that Ilhan Omar has with a guy named Hersey and the other guy named Elmy. Legal documents, reports Judicial Watch's complaint. Actually, not reporting, but it's in their complaint. Legal documents, such as speeding tickets, demonstrate that she lived with Hersey during the entirety of her marriage to Elmy. And all three use the same address in Minnesota. Omar's legal divorce from Elmy was a default divorce, which requires a person seeking the divorce to swear that his or her spouse has disappeared and cannot be located. And so in a sworn document, she said that she had had no contact with Elmy since 2011. Problem is that Elmy had public profiles on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and there were screenshots that show her continuously interacting with him on social media in those years. So while she gets this default divorce saying, I haven't seen him for years, she said, I'd had no contact with him since 2011. And then there's this record all over social media of how they're always together. And there's other records showing that they're living together. Most damningly, there are photographs of Omar and Elmy taken during Omar's 2015 trip to London, pictures that Omar posted to her own Instagram account. Thus, Omar almost certainly committed perjury when she swore she hadn't seen or heard from Elmy since 2011, reports New American. Under normal circumstances, said the New American, one would consider it highly unlikely that a Democrat-controlled House would seriously investigate somebody who is reliably left-wing. But considering all the problems that they are causing, Pelosi, concerning the fact that they are now pushing, among other things, for impeachment, Judicial Watch reports New American may have given Pelosi a perfect Christmas in July present. And Paul Joseph Watson reports on Summit News that she once told a Somali immigrant herself, Ilhan, told a Somali immigrant, why don't we report you? Now, what is the context for this? Well, this is a newly uncovered tweet from October 2012. She was responding to a Somali immigrant to the U.S. who tweeted out an article in which the mayor of Maine encouraged Somalis arriving in America to leave their culture at the door. So they say, hey, you're coming here to America, but you know what? We have a different culture here. And kind of obviously, it's a better culture than the one that you're coming from. because you had to run away from that place. It was overrun with, you know, people who were enslaving women, who were abusing them, warlords who had a civil war going on, people like your father, Ilhan, who are pushing Marxism. So this is a better place. So leave that culture behind. If you want to come, if you're in danger and you really want to get away from that culture, don't bring that culture that you're running from. All the results of that. Don't bring it here. Don't bring it here. And then Omar tweeted out, said, we are citizens and we can't be deported. Why don't we deport you to wherever you came from? She said that to a woman on social media who went by the handle Somali Chula. So why don't we deport you wherever you came from? She told her fellow Somali, because this person said, hey, we don't want to bring this culture in. Well, Ilhan wants to bring it in. She's brought her culture of subjugation and humiliation for women right there to the floor of the Senate. Nancy Pelosi was all for that at the time. I'm sure she's she was kind of forced into that as she's got her hand being forced into all of this Mueller nonsense. And then as we look at the border, and we had the report about those 50 or so people who were rushing the border. They were coming in waves at 4 in the morning while it's still dark, coming in waves at Border Patrol, rushing the temporary barricades, bending metal poles, taking out the concertina wire. Now we see from some of the video that they're yelling, shoot, shoot, taunting the Border Patrol agents to shoot them. Exactly. And shouting also, this is not their effing rules. And then in Chicago, we see the same type of thing. We see an event that is organized by, guess who? The Chamber of Commerce. Now, does the Chamber of Commerce support open immigration? Of course they do. They want to get the cheapest labor they can find. And whether it's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or these local groups like this, they are all about immigration. And so in Chicago, this event organized by the Chamber of Commerce, a representative said, well, we would have never thought that this was a problem, and they actually thought it was okay when questioned about it for the parents to have their kids beating a piñata that had written on it that was dressed up like an ICE agent. Okay, so let's get the little kids here, and let's let them, we got a piñata that we've made to look like an ICE agent, and they had some other ones where they could throw balls at an image of President Trump. So let's do that, and let's beat the ICE agent, see if we can bust him open. Go ahead, little kids, let's do this. You know what we got going on here? You look at what's going on at the border, you look at what's going on in Chicago. We have our own intifada that is being created right here in America. Same thing the Palestinians did. And, of course, this is also organized, and this is not meant towards law enforcement, said the Chicago chapter of Los Brown Berets. This is a radical Marxist group that goes back to the 1960s, a radical Marxist group of Chicanos behind this, of course. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
I'm ready for
back. You understand, don't you, that the open borders is not just a bad idea economically for Americans. You know, we have, with the open borders for goods, we have essentially exported our factories, and now we are, with the open borders for people, importing our workers. That's why the Chamber of Commerce in Chicago was all about an event where they would have a piñata of ICE agents. And then the Chicago chapter of Los Brown Berets, a nationwide activist group, reports CBS. This is the way they describe them. They describe Los Brown Berets. Kind of an interesting combination of English and Spanish in that title. A national activist group aimed at overcoming inequalities against Chicanos. Yeah, no, these are Marxists that go back to the 1960s. Who use racism and who use demographics as their class struggle. That's who these people are. And the people with the Chamber of Commerce said, this particular individual with Los Brown Berets says, we're just making a statement by beating that ICE piñata agent. Taking children from their parents and separating them. And, of course, that doesn't ever happen to Americans, right? except it does. Far more Americans have their kids kidnapped from them by CPS. It is a multi-billion dollar industry here in the United States, and the Democrats don't care about it. Lost brown berets don't care about it. And, of course, it happens to people of every ethnic background in the United States. And the East Side Chamber of Commerce there in Chicago says, well, you know, that's okay. That's all right. We're fine with that, said Marvin Covington. No problem with that. No problem at all. In New York, they've got the educational system to do the same thing. New York Post is saying, forget about reading and math. You have the school's chancellor, Richard Carranza, who wants to focus on racial privilege and activism. Again, this is a systematic destruction of the United States. Pushing back against everything that America is about, opening up the borders, creating class warfare here in the United States. As we see these kids being trained, like young Palestinians in the Intifada, who the enemy is, to take them out. And in the schools, as the New York Post points out, even though kids are struggling with basic math and English, and I've talked about this before, New York, one of the top two or three districts in the country in terms of the amount of money spent per capita, well over $20,000 per capita spent on each child there. In the educational system. Spare no expense, and yet they get zero results, nearly zero results. You get between, in these school districts, New York, Washington, D.C., you have illiteracy and innumeracy rates that are 96 to 98%. That means that only 2 to 4% of the kids can read. Only 2 to 4% of the kids can do math. And yet, the chancellor of the schools there in New York City, Carranza, in the has a program called the Culturally Responsive Sustaining Education Program. And its purpose is to, quote, identify and interrupt policies and practices that center historically advantaged social, cultural groups and lead to predictable outcomes of success or failure for historically marginalized students. This is a Marxist narrative. And it shows you, yet once again, how many times we have to see this. This is an agenda that flows from the Department of Education in Washington on down. And it is not about educating children in any way, shape, or form. It is about the deliberate dumbing down of the kids, as Charlotte Isserby pointed out. When she went to the Department of Education under President Reagan, Reagan was going to stop that. It was only a year too old. It had just been created by Jimmy Carter. Reagan did not stop that. And it is pulling our country apart because the social engineering is coming from the top down. As one person there said, this is a simplistic narrative that is being peddled. It's called white privilege. And again, just like we've got the brown berets, going back to the 1960s, you also have Bill Ayers and his Weather Underground going back to the 1960s. They were popularizing the term white skin privilege. Bill Ayers stopped blowing up buildings, federal buildings, and he went into education. And that's exactly what this guy's doing. This woman who is pushing back against this said, what is confounding about this proposal in the New York schools is that it doesn't acknowledge the successes of students who are doing well in New York City public schools. Instead, it identifies it as problematic white privilege. So if you're doing well, it's a problem because they want Marxism. They want a class struggle and they don't want anything based on merit. So we're not going to celebrate anybody's achievements, even when it is poor Asian students who are doing better than any other group. Oh, that's kind of a problem for their white privilege narrative, isn't it? And this is part of a policy by Carranza. They focus on implicit bias in the system. See, you may not even know that you're a racist, but you have this implicit bias simply because you're white. That's what they tell everybody. And so the Parents Union, New York City Parents Union, said this is just a diversion. The kids are not being educated, and they're graduating illiterate and innumerate. If they can't do math or English, which is basically earn water for their future, they won't have a future. That's right. They will not be able to live their lives except as dependents on the state. The state that will organize them into competing groups for their Marxist class struggle. That is the plan. Why are we allowing the educational system to proceed with this? Again, another aspect of what our educational system is doing to our children. The Supreme Court is now being asked to review a lawsuit over a sex change for a minor that was done over the objections of the parent. This is in Minnesota. Mother's asking the Supreme Court to review her case. County officials, she said, pushed her minor son to change his sex without her consent. Local school and health officials determined that her 15-year-old son was going to be emancipated without a court order. And they helped him to obtain, and they paid for his sex change services, including hormones and narcotics. She said Minnesota law did not provide her a way to fight this emancipation determination. So she went to the federal system and said, this is a violation of my 14th Amendment, equal protection of the law. They don't even give me a chance to fight them in court. What have we been saying about CPS? All of these people talking about what's happening at the border, separation of kids from their family. They can separate you from your kids even without taking them out of your home. Because if you take them out of your home and put them in their schools where this is their agenda, they will separate them. They don't have to do it bodily. They can do it mentally and spiritually. Separate them from you. Alienate them from you completely, as they did to this individual. And as I was saying yesterday, in the UK, you can't marry somebody on your own until you're 18. You can't even do it with your parents' permission if you're under 16. And yet here is a 15-year-old, and you have the school psychologist and the school principal say, we think you belong in a different sex, and we're going to help you to do that, even over your mother's objection, and we'll pay for it. We'll give you life-altering, irreversible drugs, many of which can have very serious side effects like heart attack, cancer, things like that, over her objections.
Broadcasting with the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have in studio with us a very special guest, somebody named Travis Knight, actually my son, a producer of the show. And I needed his help on this because this is something that is out of, as Bob Mueller would say, this is out of my purview. We're talking about a rap artist that President Trump is going to bat for. And so I wanted Travis to come in and give us a little bit of background on this. Because, you know, Travis, I kind of agree with Quincy Jones on this. Now, Quincy Jones, a great musician, music producer, composer. And he said about rap music, he goes, it's not music, it's talk. That's why they call it rap. But you know about this guy. So tell us about ASAP.
Yeah.
As soon as possible.
I guess I'm here acting as sort of a cultural liaison in this instance. ASAP Rocky, platinum-selling rap artist, Grammy-nominated. He got into a bit of a scuffle in Sweden with some Muslim migrants, assumedly Muslim migrants. There's not many there naturally. And Sweden's now claiming that he was at fault for this. If you watch the video, they definitely do get into a fight. But if you watch the entire thing, these dudes are provoking him the entire time. Mm-hmm. And one of them hits his security guard with their headphones. And now Sweden is claiming that ASAP Rocky is at fault for this. And he's potentially facing up to 2 years in prison.
Well, why are these guys harassing them? Why would they don't?
As far as I know, it hasn't been revealed. A guy I watched on YouTube made a good point, said that Muslims come into these areas and they take them over and they see them as their territory. And if you enter their territory, they can do whatever they want to you as a general rule. So
that's their hood.
Yes, it's our turf now. And if we want to harass you, we can. ASAP Rocky said that these guys were harassing women, you know, grabbing their butts and things like that and harassing them. And eventually it was too much for them. And in the fight, you can see one dude literally gets thrown. He just runs with him and throws him onto the ground. And that's the key point of their investigation, I believe, that one video clip.
And so the Swedish officials, it's far easier for them to come after an American than it is for them to inflame this entire neighborhood, right? Because they've had situations in Sweden where entire cities have been set on fire. By their new guests who have come in. Right?
Yes, they're not eager to deal with the large-scale problems. I think they're more eager to deal with Donald Trump, a continent away, who isn't going to go to war with Sweden.
Yeah.
Not over a rapper, anyway.
Not over this, yeah.
But one thing I thought was funny is that people are now alleging it's racism on Sweden's part to charge ASAP Rocky with this. And I think maybe they're right. Maybe it is racist, but not for the reasons they're thinking. They just don't want to deal with the Muslims. They know what's going to happen.
That's right.
They know what will happen if they do anything to them. So they will prosecute ASAP Rocky to keep these people happy.
It's either easier to scapegoat him.
Exactly.
And then President Trump is looking at this, and this is a way for him to... build bridges and get street cred, I guess, with the black community, as he's done in the past. You know, he's worked with prison reform, mm-hmm. and things like that. You know, with
I'd also like to take a second just to say that the fact that the headline Donald Trump works with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West to free ASAP Rocky from a Swedish prison is real is it's ludicrous. 5 years ago, that would have been a movie plot, and it would have been a terrible movie. But the thing I wanted to touch on is that Donald Trump is going to bat for ASAP Rocky, which I totally support. I think he should do this. Mm-hmm. ASAP is being railroaded, and he deserves to be freed. But I want him to go to bat for Edward Snowden. I want him to go to bat for Tommy Robinson, Julian Assange. Where is he on these issues?
That's right.
Julian Assange spent 7 years in the Ecuadorian embassy, basically a prisoner, no access to the outside world. Donald Trump has a chance to make that right. And he's not, as far as we can tell. You've got these people that support QAnon. They're like, trust the plan, trust the plan. He's just bringing him in.
Well, QAnon told us at the beginning of the year that Julian Assange was on his way to be flown out, that there'd already been a deal.
Yeah.
And it was completely wrong.
Another brilliant deduction from QAnon there and his followers. No offense if you follow that. Good for you. I don't believe it. I think it's nonsense. But I want Donald Trump to take a look at Tommy Robinson. This is another case where Muslims are involved. Tommy Robinson was charged because he went outside the courthouse and tried to get an interview or talk to these men who were involved in a pedophile rape gang of children. This is something that is systemic in England. This is a huge problem. But the courts don't want any of these names known, so you don't know how bad it is. This isn't about judicial sanctity or whatever they want to call it.
Well, as Tommy Robinson said, and we had the last interview with him on this program, last interview before he was sent to prison, he was saying that something like 97% of the crimes are done by 4% of the people. And so they were trying to expose this. The BBC, as well as the British government, were doing everything to keep people from realizing that this was something that was very much a part of this particular community. And so they put a gag order on everybody. But he, as he pointed out, he went to their website and they had an error on their website. They didn't list these individuals. So he filmed them going into court. And for that, he's going to be going to prison.
It's ridiculous.
He is in prison. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, Tommy Robinson is facing 9 months in prison, which where he is could be a life sentence.
Yeah.
That Tommy Robinson runs a substantial risk of dying in prison. I don't think ASAP Rocky runs that risk.
Well, last time he was there, he was only there for 2 months. And he lost 40 pounds.
Yes.
He's not that big a guy.
No.
And after putting a gag, after they said, well, you shouldn't have shown those guys because we had a gag order. He said they didn't have a gag order. Then they put a gag order on everybody to cover up the fact that they had railroaded him in a kangaroo court proceeding into jail immediately within 24 hours. He was not only, they go through their so-called procedure and put him in jail within 24 hours. And don't anybody report on this? Well, we reported on it. And other people internationally report on it. That's another reason why the internet free speech has to be taken away.
Absolutely. Anything that threatens their veil of secrecy over what they're doing has to be stopped immediately. Anything that shows how bad things really are has to be stopped, silenced, put away, locked in prison if it's a person. They have to get rid of these people because they don't want you seeing how bad it is, because they're worried that if you know how bad it is, you'll have a reaction to it.
Well, the thing that concerns me about Julian Assange is the fact that President Trump has thrown him under the bus. Somebody who has done this service, as well as President Trump individually, a service by telling us what Hillary Clinton had done. And has always told us the truth, and throwing him under the bus to appease Pompeo, who openly brags about the fact that he lies, he cheats, he steals, they have application programs for that. And then Gina Haspel, who tortured people criminally and presided over that, and then presided over the destruction of evidence. And so to help these people who are violating the law, who are spying on us, who are lying to us, he's going to throw this organization, which has told the only time that we're allowed to see what our government is doing, violating the law, is when we have something done by Snowden or Assange with a whistleblower, exposing these documents. That's the only, because everything is kept secret by our government now. They're completely opaque to everything.
Exactly. And I'm going to say something, which, give me a second to clarify once I do. WikiLeaks won Donald Trump the election, not because of the Russian hack. The Russian hack didn't happen. But over the course of years, exposing the disgusting elements within the U.S. government, it got the American people to a point where they were willing to vote for Donald Trump. Agreed. And if you do not fight for Julian Assange, you are a coward, Donald Trump.
That's right. Because he exposed Hillary Clinton. And he said at the time, he said, look, we don't know what President Trump is going to be, but we do know that Hillary Clinton is a criminal. I've shown you all these documents. We do know that she is a warmonger. She's going to set the world on fire. We do know that she's going to shut down the internet, free speech. And now that is going on. And President Trump isn't doing anything effectively other than, you know, this lawn party that he had, which is absolutely nothing. You have the talk from the Justice Department that came out yesterday saying we're going to file some additional, we're going to do some antitrust investigation of these internet companies. It didn't affect their stock whatsoever. Nobody believes that. No investors in Wall Street believe that. Nobody thinks that anything's going to be done. I certainly don't think that anything's going to be done.
No, they all know how the game is played. They all know that during election cycle, people will talk tough for a minute. And as soon as the door is closed and they're back in office, the lobbyist walks in and hands them a check and nothing happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the same thing happened to me yesterday. I couldn't say tough talk. They talk tough, but they don't do it.
It's a tough one to say.
That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for joining us, Travis Knight. We're going to be right back. I've got some more news about what is actually going on with our free speech. You won't believe. We had a whistleblower with Google yesterday. And now it's gotten even worse. I'll have more details about that when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I've got more bans by YouTube, by Amazon, by Twitter. All these accounts everywhere. I mean, it's not even been a year yet since InfoWars was taken down. And look at how fast this has metastasized. The whim of any of these internet executives, who, by the way, I will point out yet again, and I'll give you evidence of this, how tightly they are connected to the military-industrial complex. To the intelligence community, to this new, I would call it, I guess, the surveillance industrial complex that is arising here in America, which was sprouted out of the head of the military industrial complex, like some kind of a Greek monster, Greek mythological creature or something. But that's really what this is. Before we get into that, real quickly, I want to remind you of the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have run low on some of our most popular products, Ultra 12, Brain Force, things like that. They were trying to get those to Bob Mueller in time. You know, get him some extra Brain Force before he goes on. But evidently, the shipment did not reach Bob Mueller in time, the Brain Force. But we do have several other items, big ticket items, quite frankly, that represents a big savings, big dollar savings. 50% off DNA Force Plus. It's very expensive. Our PQQ ingredient there that helps to protect your telomeres, that's a little end caps on the end of your DNA, a very accurate marker of your life expectancy. They've seen that certain groups like the Amish who are born with a longer telomeres, they live longer on average than everybody else. So it's kind of this linear degradation as time goes by. These things gradually get shorter and shorter as your DNA reproduces, as your body is regenerating itself. They continue to get shorter and shorter. So you can do things to try to keep that from degenerating to help the health of your telomeres, because once those end caps on your DNA disappear, that DNA strand starts to unravel. Like a shoelace without the end cap on it. And then all kinds of things start to happen, as you saw with Bob Mueller the other day. Not making fun of, you know, age comes to all of us. So do everything that you can to try to delay that condition as long as possible. DNA Force Plus, now 50% off. All of our storable foods are up to 50% off. We have the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system. That's our gravity feed system. That's 40% off. Folks, if you don't have access to a supply of food. And again, this food, the storable food, is storable for up to 25 years. It's all made in America. It's non-GMO. It is even resealable after you open it initially. It's resealable packaging, best you're going to find anywhere. If you don't have access to an emergency supply of food, if you don't have a way to make sure that your water is clean in an emergency with a gravity feed water filter system, you haven't really prepared for yourself or for your family. And right now you can take advantage of the sales we have. 40 to 50% off these products here. Super Male Vitality, 50% off. InfoWars Life Protein Bars, 40% off. Take a look at the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do need and appreciate your support. All right, so Zero Hedge and a contributor there, Dave Collum, he's actually a Cornell professor. He went on a podcast, Quoth the Raven, and they were talking about conspiracy theories. And because of that, when he went on Quoth the Raven, YouTube said, nevermore, and they took him off. He had tweeted out, he said, I am a, quote, conspiracy theorist. He said, I believe men and women of wealth and power conspire. Yeah, I do too. And so does the government, you know, the FBI, all that confusion with Bob Mueller about conspiracy and collusion, all this other kind of stuff. That is the most common charge brought by the government against people, conspiracy. Even if you didn't do something, if you just talked about doing something or with other people, contemplated it, planned on it, or even discussed it, oh, they'll get you for conspiracy. Even if you didn't do the bank robbery, if you talked about doing a bank robbery, they'll take you down for that. So they always tack that on to any crime, because if you did a bank robbery with two people, well, conspiracy was involved in that, so we'll tack that on there. So yeah, they do believe that people get together and conspire. Also, especially men and women of power and wealth conspire, says Dave Collum. And then he goes on to say, if you don't think so, then you are what we call, quote, an idiot. If you don't think that men and women of power conspire. And if you believe that, but you're afraid of the label conspiracy theorist, then you are what is called a coward. Oh, that was a great, great tweet. Love that. Yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist if you think the men and women of power and wealth conspire to do things to people. If you don't believe that, you're an idiot. And if you understand that and you're afraid to say it because you don't want to be called a conspiracy theorist, you are a coward. And so he goes on this podcast and they talked about a lot of different conspiracy theories. You know, is this real or is this not real? They talked about why Jeffrey Epstein could have been working for powerful people and he could have been setting people up, you think? Why he didn't buy into the mainstream 9/11 narrative and why I don't either. The L.A. Vegas shooting details. Questions about whether or not there was only one shooter. I don't think there was one shooter. Negative interest rate policy across the globe and central banking effects on the global economy. See, that would be a conspiracy theory. If you think that the banks are manipulating the economy, that's a conspiracy theory, says Google, YouTube. Oh, yeah, no, they're not manipulating the economy at all. He challenged the mainstream consensus on a number of items. And so after this got banned, he did another tweet. Okay, so I did a podcast, he says, on the pros and cons of conspiracy theories. Things going from the Lusitania to Pearl Harbor to the Gulf of Tonkin to 9/11 to moon landings to GMOs to drug pricing, Clinton's, etc. A lot of them. And we forgot one big conspiracy theory, YouTube. They declared it all hate speech and they deleted it. Irony. And this is what they said in their message to him. Content that glorifies or incites violence against another person or group of people is not allowed on YouTube. Well, he didn't incite violence, I'm sure. We also don't allow any content that encourages hatred of another person or group of people based on their membership in a protected group. Oh, okay. So, you know, if you are part of a protected group, and of course, you know, being somebody who is not a part of the Washington or corporate elite, somebody who is merely a white male, I guess, like Dave Collum, I'm not part of a protected group either. I have absolutely no protection from the hatred and the censorship of YouTube and these big tech companies who have been given a complete monopoly of the internet by DARPA, who created the internet as a tool of psychological control. And here we have Amazon now removing a Danish filmmaker's documentary about Islam. This was a documentary called Killing Free Speech. And this was a documentary about the rise of Antifa and big tech censorship. The documentary had been hosted on Amazon's Prime, for people to look at it, and on Amazon Prime, had been up there for 2 years, 2017, without any issue. And I'm sorry, that was the new documentary is Killing Free Speech. The one that they took down that had been up since 2017 was called Killing Europe. Killing Europe. That had been up since 2017. And then they said, well, we have a quality assurance concern. Quality assurance concern. See, here's the issue. That documentary about Islam and uncontrolled immigration and the consequences of that was up there for 2 years. But now all of these people, Jeff Bezos, all of them, they have now become emboldened by the inaction of the Trump administration. And they know that they can do this and get away with it. And so now what we're seeing are the whims of corporate fascists, these corporate fascist dictators. And it's being applauded, of course, by the people on the left, the Marxist people who call themselves anti-fascists. They are applauding the corporate fascism of people like Jeff Bezos, people like Mark Zuckerberg. And as we got all the reports yesterday, actually 2 days ago, the Department of Justice is going to look into antitrust stuff. Well, okay. There is action that needs to be taken by the Department of Justice because nobody has the deep enough pockets to sue these big tech companies other than the federal government. But a long, protracted legal fight over antitrust doesn't even address the central issue of election tampering. It doesn't address the central issue of how they are stealing our human rights of free speech, of the free exercise of religion, and of the free press. These are all human rights that are shared by each and every one of us, and we create government to protect those rights, and the government is doing nothing, nothing under the Trump administration, but sitting by. And nobody is believing that they're going to do anything about it. I'm not the only one who doesn't think anything's going to happen with it. All the large tech shares just shrugged off the news that the U.S. Department of Justice was going to review the practices and market-leading online platforms. They said nothing's going to happen to Facebook. Even when they found them guilty, they gave them a little slap on the wrist of $5 billion. Nothing to them. Nothing at all to them. It's all just talk and tweet from the Trump administration when it comes to the takeover of our digital public square. That's it for the broadcast. Thanks for listening.